This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Chapter 17, entitled The Divisions of Faith, text number 7. Even the food each person prefers is of three kinds, according to the three modes of material nature. The same is true of sacrifices, austerities, and charity. Now hear of the distinctions between them purport by Srila Prabhupada. In terms of different situations in the modes of material nature, there are differences in the manner of eating and performing sacrifices, austerities, and charities. They are not at all conducted on the same level. Those who can understand analytically what kind of performances are in what modes of material nature are actually wise. Those who consider all kinds of sacrifice or food or charity to be the same cannot discriminate, and they are foolish. There are missionary workers who advocate that one can do whatever he likes and attain perfection. But these foolish guides are not acting according to the direction of Scripture. They are manufacturing ways and misleading the people in general. Lord Krishna is certainly very expert at management. We know, having experienced many ups and downs in the management of our lives, our school, our work, and even our precious temple, that management is very important. But Krishna is, of course, expert at everything. And as far as management goes, he has various energies which do the work for him. Krishna himself, nakasya karyam karanam chavidyate, natasya karyam, he has nothing to do. He's not obligated. He's not bound. He's not responsible for any type of work. He is completely aloof. He is called adhoksaja. He is transcendental. Narayana paro vyaktat. He existed before the cosmos. And swayam rup, the original form of Vishnu, Krishna, Narayan, is existing in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. It is idyllic or idyllic. He's simply enjoying. Of course, we would also like to have that position. Everyone in this world wants to have as much money and as much influence and popularity and power as they can get. We don't have it, so we struggle. And there's always someone who has a little more than we do, so we have to struggle hard. And even if we get, people are always worried that someone will take it away. There is no freedom from fear. Abhaya. Freedom from fear. That is the quality of a devotee. And that is the quality of Krishna, because there's no one equal to him. Of course, Krishna is very wonderful. His pastimes are intriguing. His pastimes are mystical. He does fight with demons. And sometimes it appears that he is about to be defeated. It appeared when he was in the grasp of the tentacles of Kaliya that he would be squeezed to death. And practically all the cowherd boys, gopas and gopis, and even the elderly residents of Vrindavan, Nandagram, they saw this and they fainted, thinking that Krishna will now be killed, and what will we do without Krishna? And there are so many instances where Krishna appeared to be in difficulty. He was fighting with so many demons. He was fighting with Hiranyakashipu's brother, Hiranyaksha, and he had taken the incarnation of a boar, and he had a club, and he dropped the club. He had a big mace, and it fell from his hand, and all the demigods became very worried that he will now be defeated. So he plays like that. Because in the end, in time, Krishna is always victorious. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Wherever there's the supreme mystic Krishna, there's always victory. Tatra Shir Vijayo Vijaya. There's always victory. There's no one who can compare with him. He's the supreme controller. He manifests his lila just to keep us entertained, to keep himself entertained and to attract us. And that is his mercy. But we are in a different situation. We become illusioned. We're such a small group of souls. Do you realize? Have you ever seen? Maybe some of you have been to Kumbh Mela and seen 20 million people. Now just think of 7 billion people. 20 million is, 20 million is an ocean of people. But if you, 20 million is, what, 1/50th? 1/50th of a billion. And 7 billion, so it's 1/300th. I mean, it's just so insignificant. And yet that's only human beings. We're in such a minority in the human species of life. How many other of the 8,400,000 species? 8,400,000 is the different categories, but within each category, how many mosquitoes are there? How many fish are there? All the different kinds of fish. So many souls, so many everywhere throughout the whole universe. You go up and down, wherever you look, you'll find souls in one type of body or another. And we represent such an insignificant part of the creation. So most of the jivas have not deserted Krishna. We're really the, when somebody goes to school and they fail in grade 5 and they have to try again. Next year they get grade 5. Again they fail. And the third time they fail. And, the next year everybody's this tall and there's this one guy who's this tall. And, how come he's still in grade 5? You know, who's that monster? Who's that, you know, giant? Well, he just failed 4 times. Really stupid guy. And finally the teacher said, well, maybe he shouldn't be in school. You know, maybe he should be trained how to make baskets or some, you know, something, higher education. And that's where we are. We failed. And Krishna keeps us under control so expertly. Prakate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvas. By the modes of material nature, prasya shaktar vividaiva shruyate. By his multifarious energies, and they're in 3 categories, sattvas, rajas, and tamagun. Sarva prakriti jayagunai. You cannot refrain from action, not even a moment. Nahi kaschit shana. Shanamapi. Shana means fraction of a second. In other words, you may desire to remain free from action, and in fact there are people aspiring for spiritual knowledge who think that I will stop all activity and I will not create more karma and then I will be liberated because I'll stop creating karma, I'll stop activity. But it is not possible for them to remain inactive because there's always something moving, even if it's just the mind or the imagination. Even they stop the mind, but the senses are just waiting for an opportunity. They can't remain in that position long. A cosmic second. Okay, maybe they merge in Brahman for a few million years, but it's a cosmic second. In the face of eternal life, it's nothing. Padantiyada, they fall down, they get attracted by... They have no rasa, they have no sweetness, no taste, no joy. So they fall down. And Krishna controls everyone. And yet he himself is simply enjoying sweetness. Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the fountain of all different tastes. I once had a doctor, Ayurvedic doctor. Nice man. Gujarati, from Surat. And he used to work with Jains. Jainism is a kind of perverted reflection of Rishabdev. It's a religion, but it's concocted, and they practice austerities that, severe austerities that are not recommended in scripture, and we talked about that yesterday, somewhat demoniac. So this man worked with Jains, and their sadhus often fast for long periods of time. We read yesterday about fasting in the mode of passion or fasting in the mode of ignorance. One should not fast for any material reason or perform any austerity, but fasting is a popular kind of austerity that people do. Some people do it out of a sense of prestige, and some people do it just because it looks good, and on the side they lose weight, so I think it's really cool. But we know those gentlemen in Ireland, the terrorists who were, I shouldn't call them, yeah, they were terrorists actually. Members of the Irish Republican Army, and they were put in jail and they decided to fast, and they fasted and they all died. 50, 55, 60 days, they all. The British were not. British are, you know, people think that Mahatma Gandhi drove the British out of India. They weren't scared by Mahatma Gandhi. It was Subhas Chandra Bose that scared them. He formed the Indian Liberation Army, or Indian National Army, and he had a deal with Hitler that the Indians who were fighting with the British would surrender to Hitler, and then Hitler would give them to Subhas Chandra Bose, and his army was getting bigger and bigger, and he was moving on India, and he was winning battles. So then the British decided it's time to quit. So anyway, this man, this funny guy, had some muscle. Actually, later turned out to be just spondylosis, but he put me on a fast, water fast. I thought it would be cool. Lose some weight along the way, and all the devotees would see how powerful I was. So I fasted for 25 days, just drinking little water every day. And when I broke the fast, he gave me this kind of chutney, no food, just this chutney, and it practically exploded in my mouth. The taste was so intense, because I hadn't eaten anything for 25 days, and for the last 7 days, I couldn't sleep at night, just the whole day, I was just lying there weak, but I was constantly dreaming of prasadam, day and night. And when I got that chutney, I had some sort of realization of what it is to taste the unlimited varieties of love of Krishna. So Krishna is constantly exchanging. He's engaging with his gopis, and he's chewing on betel nut and pan. And he's passing that from his mouth to their mouths. And he's doing so many ecstatic things, exchanging love and affection. So he has no interest here. He's not going to come here and manage the material world. So with a bunch of people who are losers at best, and insincere, really not very serious about spiritual life, struggling. If they really try, they can struggle, and he's got to help. If he doesn't help everybody, pick them up and encourage them, they're not going to develop love of God. They're not going to come back to him. They're not going to remain steady in their love. Maybe they'll love him for one day, and the next day they'll be out at a rave party. I have this bright orange jacket now. So people on the street think that we're going to a rave party. So they can see me for 3 miles off. It's a bright, bright orange jacket. Kind of cool. I like to blow people's minds. I always have. So, the modes of material nature are guna. Another meaning for guna is rope. And what is a rope used for? Well, some yogis have ropes hanging from the sky and they climb up, but generally ropes are for binding us here in the material world. We're bound up by kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. You know, we know it's good, Pasyan api na pasyati. We can see, pasyan api. We can see that we're suffering. We can see that we're servants dictated to by our tongue, our belly, our genitals. You can see it all around us. You know, Prabhupada was pretty blunt about the material world. People are just interested in sex life and, oh, they make it look good. They put, just like the other day, someone gave me some sweets. And they were, you know, basically some ordinary sweets, some figs with an almond on top. But it had a nice cellophane package with ribbon around it, and you know, it looked so fancy. I had a hard time opening the ribbon. I couldn't get it up to get inside. And the material world is so well packaged. We get tied up. We get entangled. We don't know up from down. We don't know what is our self-interest. Everybody's telling us, enjoy. You're the body. What's the matter with you? What is this spiritual life? Where's the proof? Show me God. Well, you show me material enjoyment. You show me. You show me anyone who has unlimited, ever-increasing material enjoyment eternally. Show me one person. I'll show you people who are up and down and up and down. They're bounced around the room like a rubber ball smashing against the wall. Not a good place. I'll show you a planet where there are 70% of the population below the subsistence level. 60-70% of the population struggling just to survive, and the other 30%, you know, looking down their noses, thinking they're enjoying. There was a survey done by the United Nations, and they sent out their workers to ask people what they thought about the food shortage in the rest of the world. So their workers would approach representatives from different countries, different people on the street, and they would ask, please, sir, can you give us your opinion about the food shortage in the rest of the world? But the survey was a complete failure, because in Africa, people were confused. They didn't understand food shortage because they saw so little of it anyway. And in Western Europe, people didn't understand because they had never seen a shortage. They always had abundance. And in Eastern Europe, they didn't understand what opinion meant. And in India, they didn't understand what please meant. And in America, people didn't understand what rest of the world meant. People are bewildered by everything. Nobody's got such a computer, a super, super computer that could analyze all the problems of the world and come up with a solution that would fix everything. Nobody has any such brain. The biggest problem in the world today is not the problems. The biggest problem is corruption. The biggest problem in the world today is people's hearts are sick. People have no idea who they are. And they just exploit one another for sense gratification, predominantly in the mode of passion and ignorance. And these modes are characterized by different qualities. The mode of ignorance is characterized by laziness, indolence, sleep, intoxication, lack of direction. A lot of people in that mode. The mode of passion is characterized by unlimited desires. No end. People are not satisfied with having a little. They've always got to have more and more. Otherwise, why does the advertising industry exist? How can they make so much money? The advertising industry, they're, you know, right Madison Avenue. That's one of the biggest streets in Manhattan. The advertising industry. They have big, big offices. They make billions of dollars just from teaching companies how to attract the minds of people. They know the whole science. They know that people like this color. They know that this year, this word is a catchphrase. If you use this word in your advertising, it'll catch people's minds, and you can sell them whatever you like. They teach you in advertising school that if you learn the technique, you can sell people totally useless things that they don't need. You can sell them anything. You can sell them the Brooklyn Bridge or the London Bridge or whatever. People have so many desires, and they're not satiated. The mode of passion, if someone is predominantly in the mode of passion, at the end of this life, they still have desires. The result is they come back again and go on chasing the illusory God, money, affluence, bhogaisvarya prasaktanam tayapurita cheta. Some people get bewildered. We don't need God. We make everything. We have a department store. We have a superstore. We have this, that, whatever. We make the roads. We make the cars. What do we need God for? Mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is better than the rest. But there's still ego. People are still attached to their egos. False ego. And false ego can corrupt a person. It can, even if they're making spiritual progress, but because they think karta hum, I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. I have my plans. I will do this, I will get that. That's false ego. That's where we came into the material world. That's the point where we came in. We developed this sense of I, me, and mine. Janasya mohoya maham ma me ti. And we're pursuing that. I, me, and mine. Arjuna's biggest problem was he was thinking I, me, and mine. I won't be happy if I kill my relatives and make this kingdom mine. I won't be happy. He should have been thinking what will make Krishna happy, but Arjuna was caught up just like we all are. Until Krishna enlightened him, until Krishna chastised him, until Krishna told him, kutastva, Kashmalamidam, Vishame Soma. From where does this foolishness come from? Anarya, it's not someone of your background, someone of your culture training. You should not be thinking like this, Arjuna. Give up such petty weakness of heart, dorbalyam, shudram hridaya dorbalyam. Give it up. Just understand, Arjuna, you can be the enjoyer, but you're the secondary enjoyer. Arjuna, you need to understand this. I'm telling you this for your benefit, because I'm your very dear friend. Because you are my devotee and I'm your dear friend. I'm not telling it to everyone because they don't want to hear it. I won't force myself into people's lives. Even though Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, even though Krishna did so many wonderful things, hardly 100 people knew who he was. 100 people. So what to speak of today? Well, we should consider that we have been blessed. Now, whether we take that blessing or not is up to us. But we have definitely had our eyes forcibly opened. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. While I was standing in the darkness of ignorance, you forced me to open my eyes. We've had that much. Just like Lord Chaitanya preached in India, Bhakti Siddhanta preached all over India, Srila Prabhupada has gone all over the world. Lord Chaitanya wanted his followers to do more than he did. He left everything so that his followers could take credit. So we have been benefited. And it is due to the mercy of Guru and Gauranga that the number of people has expanded. But we should not take it lightly. And we should also know that it is tenuous. Until we commit 100%, there's always the chance that we can fall from grace. Now, whatever we have absorbed, that will stay with us lifetime after lifetime until we achieve perfection. But still, if I were you, or I think we can all agree that it's better to finish our business quickly. Shubhasya Shigram. Something that is auspicious should be completed immediately. Don't leave it for a rainy day. Don't leave it for another time. Whatever you have, whatever strength, whatever facilities you have at your command, whether you go quickly or slowly, but get out of the modes of material nature. Cut the knot of material affection. Urdvam sattvam, urdvam gacchanti sattvasta gacchanti. One goes up when he's in the mode of sattvam. Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta, mode of goodness. Madhyeti stanti rajasa, mode of passion, you stay. And mode of ignorance, mrityu sansara bhartmani. So, it's not difficult when you understand how it works. Just like if you go to a river or the ocean. I've been to many oceans, right from Bombay to Rio de Janeiro to the Pacific Ocean I've seen so many oceans, beaches. And in many places there are strong currents in Hawaii. And there'll be a sign there on the beach, be careful, under tow. And you'll see, if you go in the water, within 3 or 4 minutes you're 1 mile out to sea. The current carries you out. But if you pay attention to the sign, then you won't swim in that area. They'll always say, swim in this area only. So, learn to discriminate between activities bound by the modes of material nature and activities that are free from the modes of material nature or spiritual activities. And keep your eyes and ears open. See how, just like, again, in Matrix, people were, you know, you could see people acting. You can watch anyway, forget Matrix. Just go out on the street here, go downtown, find a place, a vantage point, set up a chair, sit down, and just watch people. Watch them. Watch for a few hours. Watch people acting. Watch their faces. Watch cars getting in front of each other, and one guy's honking his horn, screaming, get out of my way, and then the other guy gets angry. Mode of passion. Someone else is walking down the road and he's, you know, giving in charity to poor people. Charity in the mode of passion, charity in the mode of ignorance. You can see all these things are going on right in front of you. Carry your Bhagavad Gita, write out passion characterized, ignorance, goodness, activities, this, that. Look, you see. You see it right there. And then say to yourself, I'm not going to get caught up by these modes of nature because tenuous platform, very shaky. We could get dragged away too if we're not careful. Everything we do is subject to these modes of material nature. Everything. So we have to take guidance from devotees who are expert, from scripture, how to do it. It's funny. We used to say, and it's true, Prabhupada came to us, the most successful country in the whole world in the last century, so successful, even now practically, influencing the whole world. And Prabhupada came to us and he had to teach us how to eat, how to sleep, how to mate, how to defend. He had to teach us every little thing, how to pass stool. He had to teach us almost like little children, you know, little children, you toilet train them, you know, otherwise they pass all over the floor. We have to train them. And we were like that. We're so dirty. He had to teach us to use water and soap. He had to teach us how to clean our food before we cook. He had to teach us not to cause violence. Everything he had to teach us. So, learn. Learn how to act in such a way that the modes of material nature will not touch you. You can observe them, but you won't be influenced. You'll be insulated. Especially what is very good for insulation is the morning program. Nothing can compare. You can't come to the morning program in the temple. Somehow have a morning program in your home. If you can get together with one or two other people, nothing insulates you throughout the day, because that time of the morning, Brahma Muhurta, is so auspicious. The modes of material nature are not there. You watch throughout the day. As the day goes on, in the morning, predominantly you'll find the mode of goodness, relative goodness. Then, as you get around noon, passion comes into play well into the afternoon. And then as evening starts to set in, the mode of ignorance is very influential. So, and any devotee who doesn't chant his rounds in the morning can understand how, if you chant your rounds early in the morning, it's really, you're all fired up and everything's clear. All the Krishnas are in the right place, all the Ramas, you know. Then, you know, you you get caught up in business or something. Try to chant your rounds at noon. It's forced. In the morning it takes you an hour and a half, maybe a little more. At noon it takes you 2.5, and there's a tendency for your mind to wander a little bit, and you get caught up with distractions. The evening, trying to chant your rounds, you fall asleep half the time. You forget how many rounds you chanted, and all kinds of strange things happen. Because the mode of ignorance is taking over. The holy name is strong, but your attraction for the holy name is not strong. So protect yourself, and you won't be influenced. These divisions of faith are there, and you can see it if you look and cut yourself free. So I'll stop there. Any questions?